Praise the Lord. And for those who are visiting with us, thank you. Amen. Thank you for being with us. And to all the saints of God, it's good to see you in the house of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. You know, for the 40-day challenge, I want to encourage you to start looking around. Start looking around for the people you want to come to church. Do you know God answers prayers? And when you look around and you see them, start looking up in prayer on their behalf. Amen? Pray for them that God will draw them to his house. God will touch their hearts and they will respond to the invitation. Amen? And you be friendly. Listen, you got to be friendly people. If you want to get somebody to church, you got to be what? Friendly. Amen? And we're talking about relationship. And by the end of today's sermon, I believe that you would have been inspired how to better formulate your relationships. You know, we have relationships, but we can build them up. Yeah. Amen? They can get stronger. They can get better. You got to work on your relationships. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So for the 40-day challenge, we have all these Easter services and events that are coming up. We want them to be full. Somebody say full.
Full.
Don't you know God wants your joy to be full?
Yes.
Right? You don't want an empty joy. No, you want a full joy. So I want a full church.
Yes.
Anybody desires a full church? You know what that means? More people are going to heaven. More people are getting saved. More people are getting delivered. More people are getting free. More people are being encouraged. More people are being built up. So that's why we want a full church. Because what? It shows that we are working for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He said, go into all the world and make disciples. Go and make disciples. And disciples is everybody's business. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles over to Psalm chapter 16. And we're going to just read a few verses there. Tell somebody relationships matter.
Relationships matter.
The fact that we're in this room says that we have a relationship or we're working on a relationship with the Lord. Or we desire to have a relationship with him. Amen? Hallelujah. We're going to read from verse 7. It's a beautiful chapter. You can read it all by yourself. And it says, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. What he has done? He has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night season. Who knows, sometimes there's some tough seasons in life, which we call night seasons, which you feel like you're not going to make it through. You know, sometimes the night is long, especially when you're carrying a burden or you're a little anxious about something. It is hard to rest. It is hard to sleep. But there's sometimes in our lives we face seasons that seem like night seasons, like when you're out of a job. You feel kind of hopeless, you know, because you're knowing, you know what is sure is the bills. The bills are going to come at the end or at the middle of the month. They will show up. Taxes are going to show up at the end of the year. Amen? But it says here, my heart will also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is what? Glad. And my glory rejoices. My flesh also will what? Rest in hope. My flesh will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol or hell, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of, you will show me the path of, you will show me the path of. Now, if God has the path of life, we need to see it. And he needs to what? Show it to us. In your presence is fullness of joy and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Father, we thank you for this word. I pray, Holy Ghost, you're going to speak to us. You're going to deliver this word to us this morning. Deliver it to our spirits and let it hit our minds. And God, renew our minds and let our minds be conformed to your word and to, oh God, your purposes in the mighty name of Jesus. And we give you all the glory. Holy Spirit, take the room. Let the words of my mouth, oh God, come from your spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. So we're talking about relationships. And for the first time, I've read this scripture so many times in my life. From a little boy, we know that scripture. In your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. We all quote that scripture. But as I was looking at this scripture and staring at this scripture, I realized this scripture speaks about two people that are in a relationship. David is writing from a place of relationship with God. He is saying that, God, you are all these wonderful things to me. Relationship pretty much comes down to this. It's a connection. What is a relationship? It's a connection. Now, there are different types of relationships, yes. There's family relationship. You're born into a home. You're born into a family. And guess what? You're connected to your parents biologically. You're connected to your siblings biologically. Amen? Then you grow up and you go to school. And you develop what? Other connections. You go to pre-K and all of a sudden you start to cry because you don't know any of these people. You don't like that connection. Until you realize that mommy and daddy keeps on taking you there every single day. For some reason, they're waking you up from your bed, brushing your teeth, giving you breakfast, getting you dressed, and what are they doing? Delivering you to pre-K every day. And then you realize for the next maybe 12 years of your life, you're going to this place called school. What are you doing at school? You're developing relationships. Relationship with your teacher, relationship with your peers. You're being connected to them. And do you know it gets to a place where children are so connected. Can we take off this fog machine? I'm sorry. It's blowing over here, Tio. It's giving me fog. I'm starting to not see the people. Amen? Right? So you develop a connection, and it gets to a place where parents wonder how it is teachers are impacting my children in such a way, because children prefer to listen to the teachers more than their parents. When you tell them something, guess what they say? No, the teacher said, I must do my homework. You tell them to do their homework, and sometimes they don't want to do it. But because what? There is trust in that relationship. They trust in their teachers. I want to tell you this morning, it is time for us as the church to trust in God in a real and a tangible way. Put all your confidence in the Lord. Do not throw aside your hope. Do not throw aside your confidence. Do not lay your confidence down in the side, because what? Your God is the greatest teacher. He is the greatest counselor. He's the greatest director. When I looked at this word, it says in verse 7, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. He has given me what? Counsel. Oh my God, my computer is frozen. I'm going to preach from my head today. Is that all right? He has given me counsel. What is the purpose of a counsel? The purpose of a counsel is to give guidance. The Lord, in this relationship, with you and God, it is not just you showing up to church for 2 hours. Some of us show up for an hour. Some of us show up for half an hour and just sing and dance and praise and leave. No, it is us all through the week receiving counsel from Almighty God. When you don't know where to turn, when you don't know what to do, you go to your counselor. You don't have to pull out your checkbook. You don't have to pull out your credit card. No, you just walk into his presence, because in his presence, you see why we don't walk in fullness of joy. We sidestep the presence of God. When I analyze this scripture and I see that it says, in order for you to get what God has for you, you must enter into his presence. In his presence is fullness of joy, at his right hand are pleasures. Now, if you do not go into the presence of the king, you cannot receive what the king has in his hand. You will never enjoy the pleasures of God. You will never enjoy the counsel of God. He is a counselor, just like he is a savior, but to as many that receive him. How do you get into the presence of God? It is not by works, it's not by your good deeds, but it is by faith. This relationship that you have with God is based on faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. How do you access the counsel of God? It is by faith. You're going through a tough situation and you need to navigate your way through it. You say, dear God, here I am this morning. I need your help. I need your input. He said, call upon me in the day of trouble and I will hear and I will what? Answer you. And I will what? Show you. We are in a relationship with God. Last week we spoke about the love of God, how powerful his love is, how ever-reaching his love is, how unlimited his love is. But today I want to take you a little deeper and I want to let you know that God wants to guide you. When you go to a counselor, they're the ones that guide you in social matters. They're the one that guides you through personal situations. They're the one that guide you through psychological problems. Today we're hearing so much about mental illness. So much psychological problem in the world. People everywhere you look, everyone is falling apart. People are on so much medication. People are on so much substances. Because we are not receiving counsel to our souls. We're not going back to the creator to receive. You see, God is all about relationship. When God created man in the book of Genesis, you will see that he would come down in the cool of the day to have fellowship with man. It's not because God wanted fellowship or needed fellowship, because the fellowship was broken and he was still God. I'll say that again. The fellowship was broken and he is still God. He still sits on his throne. The angels are still crying, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. But we needed it. Because guess what happened? The moment the fellowship or the relationship was broken, man realized that they were naked. What when you realize you are naked, you realize that you are open to all the elements. Men realized that they were now open to all the elements around them. And they decided, oh God, we got to cover up. But they covered up on the outside, but they never got covered up on the inside. It is only when Jesus comes, he's the one that covers us up. Mighty God. We could put on the best clothes. We could put on the best clothes, I said. We could put on the best shoes. We could put on the best makeup. We could do the best hairdo. But no, there is no hairdo for the soul. There is no shoes you could put on your mind. Only thing that could clothe your mind is the joy of the Lord. It's the peace of God. It is the grace of Almighty God. So he wants to counsel your soul. It is time for us, church, to realize. Give me some more. Don't pull it so tight. It is time for us to realize that God has so much for us. God has so much. He wants to counsel us every day. The Word of God said the Holy Ghost is our guide. He is your guide. Stop picking up the phone every day and saying, Johnny, what should I do today? No, the first thing you should do is say in the morning when you rise up, you go before God and you say, Lord, today is Tuesday. How is it I should navigate today? These are my plans, but your word says many are the plans of the man, but the Lord has the final say. And I submit myself to that and I ask you now for your guidance. Verse 8 says, I have set the Lord always before me because he's at my right hand. I will not be moved. There should be no fear of failure. I'm going to say that again. When you're in a relationship with Jesus, there is no fear of failure because he said you shall not be moved. Meaning there is security. Somebody write this down. There is security in your relationship with God. There is what? Security in your relationship with God. With the Lord, the same way a child feels secure when they're in their parents' home, when their parents are around, guess what? That is what God does for us. There is a constant sense of security because he said, I will have my angels to watch over you, lest at any time you dash your foot against a stone. Meaning if at any time life gets in the way and life throws something against you that you can't handle, he is right there to uphold you. He is right there to stand beside you. He's your holy with his right hand. You will not be moved. The righteous shall be like the palm tree. He shall grow like the cedars of Lebanon. The cedars of Lebanon, it takes a long time for a cedar tree to grow. Because every time the tree grows 10 feet up, the root grows 30 feet down. 3 times down, 1 time up. We want 3 times up, 1 time down. We all want to be an overnight success fly by night. We all want to go on the gram and the Facebook and TikTok, and everybody wants to be famous. But the devil is a liar. The Bible said, be rooted, grounded, and settled in the faith. God will promote. It is God that sets up, and it is God that takes down. So you will have security with your relationship with the Lord. Next, you will have joy. Your relationship, he says, he in your presence is fullness of joy, fullness, complete joy, lacking nothing. It is not just temporary happiness, but it's fullness. It is complete joy. When you come into God, you become completely satisfied. You become completely satisfied. So you're not looking here and there for things that will satisfy you. No, you're living life from a place of satisfaction. You are at rest in your desires. You're not moving from one thing, one substance to another, one party to another, one club to, you're not club hopping anymore because you found fullness of joy. Let me tell you this, Jesus thing is not no easy. This is the best thing that ever happened to me. It's the greatest thing that has ever. Ask anyone that's gotten saved, that has been born again, that has tasted and seen that the Lord is good. They will tell you, I've been looking, I've been searching for a very long, long time. But I had one drink by the river, one drink of the river. And my God, when I drank, I never thirst again. He fills your heart with hope. He fills your heart with hope. And hope does not disappoint. You have something to look forward to. I have set the Lord always before me because he's at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad. That is your joy. And my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. The reason people commit suicide is because they lack hope. The reason people kill their loved ones that they're in a relationship with, guess what? They lack hope for the future. But God says, mighty God, I know the plans, Jeremiah 29:11, that I have for you, plans to prosper you and to give you an expected end, to give you a hope and a future. Oh, mighty God, let me tell you this. Hear this, church. Don't worry about the future. The song says, I don't worry about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine. I don't have to borrow from tomorrow to live today. Because every day, the word of God says, when we say the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. Everything I need today, he's got it for me. What I need tomorrow, he got tomorrow. I don't have to worry. I don't have to. I've got hope. And Romans 5:5 says, hope does not disappoint. Hope does not disappoint. Next, we have eternal safety. We had security, but this scripture tells us that we have eternal safety. Where? Verse 10, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. When you come into Christ, you become born again. You have the hope of an eternal future. So now you stop becoming anxious about tomorrow. Because you know you have everlasting life. You stop getting anxious about 10 years down the road. Because you know your life is not only hooked up in 10 years. You have what is known as eternal life. Because you've passed, because of the grace of God, you've passed from wrath. We're no longer under the wrath of God, but we're under the grace of God. And if any man be in Christ, he becomes what? A new creation. All things are past, all things become new. You're a new man living in a new time. What is that time? You're on a calendar that is eternal. You're living in a new setting. You're living in an eternal setting. What you're doing now, from now until you die physically, you're just working, laying up treasures in heaven where moth and rot does not corrupt, nor thieves break in and steal, but lay up treasures in heaven. You're laying up treasures because one day you're going to exit this temporary life. And if you exit early or you exit later, you're exiting into eternal rest, into eternal hope. He will not allow you to go and lay in the grave. No, the grave can't hold your body down. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and the dead in Christ shall rise, oh mighty God, the grave is going to give you up. Just the way it gave up your Savior 2,000 years ago, the grave split wide open and Jesus walked out triumphantly. That is your future. Eternal safety, eternal assurance. But all of these things are only available one place, in the presence of the Lord. In the presence of the Lord. Remember the parable where Jesus said the master of the ceremony prepared a banquet. He prepared a banquet, but no one showed up. Now, in the presence of the one that prepared the banquet was a lavish food, lavish wine. Everything was beautiful. The tables were laid. The atmosphere was right for a banquet, but no one showed up. No one showed up. All the satisfaction that they required was ready for them. The tables were laid, but no one showed up. Now, they were busy doing their own thing. What did Jesus say? Go to the highway and go to the byway and bring some folks into my presence that they can enjoy all that I have prepared. The reason why we do not enjoy security, guidance, hope, eternal rest is because we are not in his presence. We are not in his presence. The reason why you are so unstable in your thoughts and your mind rule you every day and you are fearful and you're anxious is because you are not in his presence. Let me tell you, let me share my story. If I stay away from prayer, all of a sudden, a lot of stuff starts to bother me. Yeah, I'm glad I got two amens. If you don't pray, all of a sudden you find yourself worrying. If you don't pray, your mind begins to race. If you're not eating the bread of life, because the word of God says, man shall not live by bread alone. Listen, this relationship thing is big. Your relationship with God is huge. It is huge. All of a sudden, you find yourself all over the place. You want to become insecure in your relationships? Don't pray. All of a sudden, you're worried about your wife. I wonder if somebody's looking at her in the street. All of a sudden, you're thinking, I wonder what my kids, they're probably doing bad things at school. You're thinking all these negative things. You're saying, maybe I'm going to lose my job at some point. I need to start looking for another job. All kinds of thoughts. Because you are not in the presence of God to receive what he has for you. So now, I want to get your priorities realign. The Bible says man ought to pray always. I have another scripture for you. Pray without ceasing. Why? You think God just wants to hear your voice? No. Because it brings you into his presence. And in his presence is the fullness. You're not left wanting. You are complete when you get into his presence. Why do you think people come to church and dance? Because you're in the presence. You get into the fullness of his joy. So that David says, when I went to the house of the Lord, then I understood. Understanding comes when you get into the presence of God. All of the troubles of life melt away because you understand that there is someone greater, bigger, who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above you could ever ask or think, but you must get into his presence. Why do you think people pay thousands of dollars to go to conferences? Because they want to be in the presence of a certain individual. They want to be in the room, even if they're sitting all the way in the rafters. They want to be in the presence of that person because they know there is something, there's an energy that flows out of that. Why do you think we go to see Elevation Worship? It's because we want to be in their presence. Because they carry something we like. So we go, we pay money, and we go to see them, and we're sitting all the way up on the top. And Stephen Furtick looks like this. But we go in still. Because we want to be in the presence of that person. Because that person carries a grace upon their life. So now, I want to tell the church, it is time for us every day, make it a point in your life to get into the presence of God. Because you are in a relationship with God. If I am in a relationship with you, guess what? We got to get into each other's presence at some point. Mighty God, At his presence, a fullness of joy. And at his right hand, a pleasures forevermore. The reason we never access the pleasures is because we never go into his presence. His right hand is full of every good thing. Every good thing. All the points we went over is in his right hand and much more. We cannot, I cannot tell you all the things that are in God's right hand. But I could tell you some. Love, joy, peace, provision, protection, grace, and on and on and on. Goodness and mercies, loving kindness, tender mercies are all in his hand. But we must get into his presence that we may what? Access what he has for us. If we never go into his presence, does it change him? No. It doesn't change him. He still has it in his hand. But you and I have to go into his presence that we may access the fullness of joy and we may access his pleasures, the enjoyment. You know, God wants us to enjoy life. God doesn't want us to just mope around and mop the floor when we walk and pick up all the dirt. You know, some of us, we look like we pick up dirt as we walk. We're like a vacuum. Nobody allows a vacuum to vacuum up diamonds and gold. No, it's pure dirt. All the stuff you don't want on your rug, you send the vacuum. Go get it. Or you push him around and you get it. Some of us got the ones you release, you know, the Roomba, and he just goes around the house and picks up everything you don't want. We got one called Shark, but we name him. We even give him a name. You see, they know his name. You send a booger cuff and he goes around the house by himself and he vacuums up everything we don't want. Do not pick up leftovers, church. Go into the presence of God and take the riches of the Lord. Take the riches, take the good things. Take the good things of God. Take, oh mighty God, the security he has. Take the guidance he has. Take the mercies he has. Mighty God, walk in his eternal rest. Why? Because he cares for us. But we must get into his presence. Presence, hallelujah. Mighty God. Father, we thank you. Just bow your heads for a moment with me. Just bow your heads. Lord, I pray this week will be a week of access. This will be a week of us coming into your presence. This will be a week of us going after our relationship with you, that we may receive your guidance, we may receive your counsel, we may receive your joy, we may receive fullness of joy. Maraba kandaraba shatadebo soto ye kandarama shiandeda basata kadebe shielo rosota ye kandarama sandebe shielebe kero bo satadaba basata ye karobo sha. I pray, God, we'll walk with your hope. We will live, oh God, knowing that your security system never fails. You protect your children. You say you'll protect us and we're going out and we're coming in. But God, I pray that we will come into your presence, that we may access all of these things, that our relationship with you will not be tossed around to and fro. But mighty God, I pray your work on our minds, work on our heart, convict us where we need conviction, where we've been strained, where we've been disconnected from you. I pray this will be a week of entering your presence. This will be a week of us turning our affections in the right direction, turning our directions, our compass rather, will be set right this week, where you're first and foremost, where we're entering into your presence to receive all that you have for us. Can we all stand? And as we sing this song, I want you to just look deep down inside and see how it is, how often you've been going into His presence, how well are you entering in. Analyze yourself for a minute and see how are you going every day. Are you going to access what He has in His hand, or are you just letting it, life go by as it like? Are you taking your walk with God for granted, your relationship with Him for granted? I want to tell you, God has so much good for us. His table is ready, fully prepared, because all things that pertain to life and godliness has been provided. But we need to go in and access them. We need to go in and access what God has for us. Let's give Him our whole hearts today.